Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be with you all this morning. If you have your scriptures with you this morning, please turn to the gospel according to Luke. We're in Luke chapter 20 this morning. We'll look at verses 19 through 26. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles around you, it should be page 879 somewhere in there. Let me pray and then we'll start. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the time to worship. It's good to hear the saints sing of your promises, to sing of your truth. And Lord, this morning is struck by the presence of who it is we enter. The God that is holy, holy, holy. And you welcome sinners such as us into your presence. Only through Christ. Only through the merits of Christ. Only through the sacrifice of Christ. Filled by your Spirit. So Lord, we readily recognize that we are your temple. Your Spirit resides in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, though we have a long way to go, you have set your love and affection upon us, and you'll take us all the way to glory. That we will be glorified one day, done with sin, done with death, done with disease. So this morning, Lord, we want to look into your word and challenge our hearts this morning with what you say. To examine our hearts before you, if we're true and honest, to consider our motives before you, to consider our desires before you. To Holy Spirit, we pray that as we read your word that you've given to us, that you would teach us, that you would help us to understand these things, that you would speak to our lives, to where we're at right now, to consider what you're saying to us, these things that Jesus said some 2,000 years ago. His word is true. And so, Lord, give us ears to hear. We pray what the Lord Jesus has to say this morning. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So just a little context before we read in verse 19. Remember, we're in the last week of Jesus' life. Jesus has rode into Jerusalem on the donkey in his triumphal entry. The religious leaders are upset, for they know why Jesus did that. He's making it known that he is the Messiah, that he's the long-awaited one, and they're very, very frustrated. For those who were with us last week, they asked him by what authority he was doing these things. And Jesus wouldn't tell them because they wouldn't recognize the authority given to John the Baptist, who proclaimed the coming of Jesus. And then Jesus had told him that parable of the unjust tenants, speaking to the Jerusalem leaders, that God would send these prophets to them over and over and over them, calling to repent, and lastly sending his son. And then the tenants kill the son, pointing to Christ, and Christ was saying all the gospel benefits that the leaders were to proclaim would be given to others, and now the chief priests and the scribes are very, very upset. And so we begin at verse 19. This is where we pick up with that this morning. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived he had told that parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they may catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly and show no partiality, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not?" But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" They said, "Caesar's." He said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were not able in the presence of the people to catch him in what he said. But marveling at his answer, they became silent. This ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says this morning. Playing make-believe. Something fun we did as children, something fun we do as parents with our children, something fun we do as grandparents with our grandchildren. I can remember having a doctor's kit with the stethoscope, the little hammer that supposedly could check somebody's reflexes, and the fake shot, and I couldn't wait to get my parents or siblings or anyone to pretend that they were sick and needed examined, and I would be their doctor for the day. Perhaps you had one of the little kitchens in growing up, and you would pretend to bake all kinds of goodies, and you would take requests from your parents or your siblings so that you could make up the best make-believe pancakes in the world. My mother would walk by the clubhouse in the yard with her grandkids, and the grandkids would be in the clubhouse by the window, and they would pretend it was a McDonald's drive-thru, making many, many memories. But we know it would not be any good for me to go up to UPMC and say that I'm a doctor. I would not be tricking anyone and would go and be arrested quickly. We know those who played pretend baking that it would be no good to go to Oakmont Bakery and say we were bakers. We wouldn't trick anyone with the first bite they took of our food. In the same way with Christ, in the same way with God, it will do no good pretending to be one of his followers if in fact our hearts are not united to him through faith. You may be able to trick others that you're a follower of Christ. In fact, you may be tricking yourself that you're a follower of Christ. But there's no tricking God. There's no tricking Jesus. He sees the desires. He sees the motives of your heart. He knows the reasons why you're here this morning. He knows why the words of the songs and the scriptures were on your lips this morning. He knows if you're not sincere. He knows if you're trusting him alone for eternal life. He knows if you're trusting him alone for forgiveness of sins. He knows if you truly have a desire to follow his commandments. He knows if there's a core love within your being that you desire to seek him out each day, not just an hour on Sunday mornings. He knows if your heart's been captivated by his grace and his mercies. So this morning we're asking ourselves, are we pretenders or are we followers? It's foolish to think you can hide false motives from Christ, we see in verse 20. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere that they may catch him in something he said to deliver him to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. The religious leaders had sent spies to pretended to be sincere. The idea is they pretended to be righteous men, honest men, men who truly were interested in Jesus, men who pretended to be on the side of Jesus, men who pretended to enjoy Jesus. But their true desire was to get Jesus arrested and hopefully destroyed by the Roman government. As Psalm 55:21 says, their speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in their hearts. Their words were softer than oil, but they were like drawn swords. What is intriguing that these men knew that Jesus could raise the dead. He just had healed Lazarus not too long ago. But somehow they thought he wouldn't know their motives. They knew Jesus could heal a blind man, but thought he couldn't see their motives. They knew Jesus could heal a leprous man, but thought they couldn't see the leprosy of their hearts. They knew he could cast out demons, but thought Jesus couldn't see the wickedness that resided within them. Sometimes we foolishly think that God doesn't see our outward actions. We think he's like other people that can only see our actions done in public, and we deceive ourselves, not understanding he knows our private thoughts and he knows our motives. We think he doesn't know our hidden and lustful thoughts. We think he doesn't know our selfish ambitions and agendas. We think he doesn't know the demeaning thoughts that we have of others that we keep to ourselves. It's foolishness on our part. In Matthew 6:1, Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen." He says, "Give in secret. Then your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the corners that they may be seen by others. He says, "You pray in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." He knows the true reasons why you're at worship. For some, you're here because you have to be here, and there's no interest in Christ. For some, it's tried to build a good reputation in the community or to be recognized as a good person, and no interest in Christ. Some of you are here just to ease your conscience, but no interest in Christ. But for the true follower of Christ, it's a time of praise. It's a time of thanksgiving. It's a time of rejoicing and renewal in the gospel truths of Christ. A time of thanking Christ and growing in Christ as you're united to Christ through faith. Are you a pretender or are you a follower? Isaiah says in 29 of Isaiah, it says, "The people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me." Where's your heart this morning in relation to Jesus? Are you in Christ? Are you united to Christ through faith? Is he your all in your all? Is he a consuming passion in your life? That your desire is to seek and honor him in all your life. In the words that you say to your spouse, in the words that you say to your children, to the words you say to the stranger, to the words that we say to one another, how we speak and treat each other in our relationships, let alone our lips before God. But Christ, look at your heart and your motives towards him this morning and be pleased. The next thing we see is that it's true and good that Jesus shows no partiality. They say in verse 21, they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly and show no partiality, but truly teach the way of God." Though the spies are not sincere in their motives, though actually they didn't believe what they were saying, what they did say was true and good. Jesus teaches rightly. He truly teaches the way of God, and he shows no partiality. In Matthew 22, it reads this way, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you're not swayed by appearances." Partiality was a concern in the early church, and it's true in every generation. But partiality wasn't a struggle for Jesus. James, speaking to the early church, he says, "Brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing, say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there, or sit down at my feet,' you have then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts." And Jesus is different. He shows no partiality. He's not swayed by the things of the world or the things of man. He doesn't look at you differently based on your circumstances. His love and affection towards you is not compared to someone else. He doesn't give preference to where you live or how much money you have or how much stuff that's in your house, whether you like the Steelers or not, or how much education that you have or what you look like. But he looks at your heart. He looks at your heart and he wants to know, do you want to know me? Do you know to know the greatest good and joy of the universe? Do you want to know the triune God that sent his son to die for you? Timothy Keller, who recently passed, I've used this quote many times. He says, "The gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope." He knows us. We're all equal at the foot of the cross, dead in sin and trespasses without hope, except for the mercy of God in Christ. And so we all have to come to the cross, kneeling, looking to the cross as our Savior who's interceded for us, who's taken our places there, stripped naked, beaten beyond all comprehension, that we can't even recognize him as he swallowed the wrath of God in our place. We look to him and him alone to cover our sins. Jesus shows no partiality. He's concerned with your heart and your heart before him. He's asking this morning, are we pretending or are we following? And Jesus teaches the way of God. In Hebrews it says, "Long ago at many times God spoke in various ways to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us through his Son." The heir of all things, the creator of the world. Are we listening to him? In Matthew 7, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching as one who had authority, not as the scribes." Are we listening to him? And in John 6, Simon Peter answered Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed you have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Are we listening to him? Jesus not only spoke the word of God, he is the word of God. He is the truth of God in flesh. He showed us and taught us the heart of God. He showed us and taught us how man ought to live. He showed us and taught us the duty of what our duty is towards God and towards one another. Jesus speaks and teaches rightly and shows no partiality. Jesus truly teaches the ways of God. There's a reason I wanted to walk through the book of Luke with you all. Yes, I know it's long and maybe some of you can't wait till it's over, but it's the words of Jesus. It's the workings and teachings of our Savior. God in flesh, listening to him, learning God's heart, learning about the fallenness of our hearts, learning to rest solely and completely in Jesus and his grace and his mercy as he teaches us to grow in him. There's no higher, exalted, beautiful, challenging teachings than the teachings of Christ. From the Sermon on the Mount to the Sermon on the Plain to the miracles to the parables to the dialogues to the cross. What other teachings would we want to study? And lastly, it's not enough to marvel at his teachings, but to ask ourselves, are we following them? In verse 22, as they're trying to trick him, they ask Jesus, "Is it lawful for us to give tribute, to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" They said, "Caesar's." He said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." They were not able in the presence of the people to catch him in what he said, but marveling at his answer, they became silent. It's not enough to marvel, but are we following them? The spies, pretending to be sincere, ask him the question. They were sure to get Jesus in trouble, either with Rome, the government, or with the Jewish people who hated Rome, the government. "Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, to Rome?" That harsh, ungodly political entity, that beast of a government, is it lawful to pay taxes to them? And Jesus asked for a coin and asked whose image on it, and they say Caesar's. And he says, "Well then give to Caesar what is Caesar's." Do you use Caesar's money to live and buy things? Do you use Caesar's roads and infrastructure to move about? Do you use Rome's justice system when it's needed? Then pay your taxes. The civil government was ordained by God. We are to be obedient to the civil authorities as long as they don't require us and try to get us to be disobedient to the will of God. As Paul says in Romans 13, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Rulers are not a terror to do good, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority, but then do what is good, and you'll receive his approval, for he is God's servant. For good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. Human governments are instituted by God to promote good and to protect us from evil. Yes, they are corrupt. Yes, they are man-made. But yes, God has put them in place to hopefully restrain evil and wickedness. That's why Paul would say to Timothy, first of all, then I urge you to pray and make intercession for all people, for kings and those who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. Civil government has its purpose. Jesus said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Give to God what is his. And so we asked, whose image is impressed on you? Whose image is impressed on you? Whose image is impressed on our presidents, our rulers, our kings? Whose image is impressed on us? The image of God. And Jesus says, give to God all that's God's. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. It's all his. Give him your life. Give him your devotion. Give him your heart. He's the highest good of the universe, and he won't be ignored. He won't let you reject his son without cost either. Give to God what is God's, your whole life. Are you a pretender? Are you a follower? It's foolish to think we can hide our false motives from Christ, and it's not enough to marvel at his teachings, but to ask ourselves, are we truly united to Christ through faith and following him? He knows the reasons why you're here. He knows why the words of the songs and scriptures on your lips. He knows if you're sincere towards him or not. Are you trusting him alone for forgiveness of sins? Are you trusting him alone for eternal life? Are you desirous to follow his ways of love? Are you desirous to love him in your relationships each day of the week, that every decision you make is guided by a love to honor and glory the triune God? He knows if your heart's been captivated by his grace and his mercy towards you. This morning, with an honest assessment, are we pretending or are we following? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. It's true and good. Lord Jesus, help us to be mindful of the things you call us to in relation to one another, in relation to you, in relation to authorities over us. Lord, we readily admit that we fail, that our motives are sinful many times. We seek selfish gain. We seek selfish ambition. Lord, turn our hearts, change our hearts as we rest in the finished work of Christ. May our hearts ever be more for the honor and glory of a king who would lay down his life for such a one as I. Lord, take our hearts that are full of sin and make them more like yours. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.